It's wonderful to see you folks here this evening. You've tuned in to Heart of Freedom. I'm Doug Pullen, and it's a pleasure to have this opportunity to share our practice together this evening. And yeah, so just an invitation to be comfy, settled, and to set aside cares and concerns from the day and just let ourselves come more fully into the present. And if there's anything that would help, yeah, the process being more kind of easeful and relaxed and alert, yeah, please make sure you have what you need as far as cushions or accoutrements that make that easier. And let's just let our eyes close or be softly downcast as we, just bring the focus more fully into our embodied experience. And an invitation to check in with what's happening here. Experience of a body that's sitting. Maybe there's, pressure, warmth, coolness, tingling. And it's often helpful in the beginning of a sit, to just take a couple of long, slow, deep breaths and just let the breath be an invitation to experience some ease. Letting any places where there's tightness or holding or tension kind of soften. And then maybe it's a little easier to let the body be in a alert posture. So there's this kind of balance between relaxing and softening and also being alert and sitting in a posture that supports that. And maybe helpful just to do a brief sweep through our physical experience and, to see if there's any places that are still holding on to tightness or attention or constriction. And, just through attending and bringing in a kind intention, perhaps we can let things soften. And an invitation for us as we practice together this evening to reflect on where is it that we might find true refuge. And in this practice, going back 2,600 years, the invitation is in three interrelated areas to look for the refuge that comes in this capacity to be awake, to be here with awareness that's non-judgmental, that's grounded and focused. And that's traditionally understood as taking refuge in the Buddha or in our Buddha nature. and to take refuge in the direct experience of the truth, to discover for ourselves what's true. Not on an intellectual level as much as direct embodied experience here, taking refuge in the Dharma. And then to discover what it means to wake up to our interbeing, to our interconnectedness, or the mutual support our presence offers here. Sometimes referred to as taking refuge in love or interbeing, or traditionally taking refuge in the Sangha. And it starts right here with this breath, with this embodied experience of this piece of the living earth that we refer to as ourselves, breathing. And with this breath, we experience a tangible interconnectedness with life. And so discovering where we feel that as we let the breath breathe itself. And if you're new to meditation, it's maybe helpful to have some starting points to be curious about the breath. And so noticing the sensations that happen with breathing in the belly or the chest, expanding and contracting, or the touch of the breath at the tip of the nostrils. And to step out of thinking as the a kind of default sort of habitual condition, to letting thinking be an object of mindfulness. So we recognize that thinking is happening with the breath here at the center as our present moment touchstone. as mindfulness and concentration are cultivated, strengthened. There's a possibility of being fully present with anything that arises in consciousness. So other body sensations other than breathing, or feelings, or thoughts, sounds, so we can ultimately be fully present with whatever is passing through the stream of consciousness. And fully present means not identified with judgments or commentary or going into analysis or trying to make decisions. there's any restlessness, agitation, a sense of distractedness, see if you can really give yourself over to your breathing so that the breathing has a chance to settle you, to bring you to some calm. So there's this deliberate, intentional coming back to the breath, or in maybe a more predominant object that's stable, to help stabilize consciousness. And to notice the embodied experience of the breath. Where is the breath showing up in the body? Our focus for practice this evening is mindfulness of thinking. So if you're well established in being present with the embodied experience of breathing, or perhaps some other physical experience that's more predominant, you might want to experiment with or open up to the possibility of being fully present with thinking as a primary focal point. If that doesn't sound doable or like it would be within your wheelhouse this evening, of course don't do it. Just stay with the breath. Stay focused on the embodied experience of breathing. But if you choose to do it, then the invitation is with a certain degree of calm and deliberateness to really let go of the breath, let go of paying attention to breathing, and to simply notice thinking. Notice when you're thinking. So we're not going to try to push thinking into the background or stop thinking. But as we're thinking, to really be clearly present, to be mindful that thinking is happening. To look at thinking directly. In the present moment. And if your thoughts fade away as you observe them, just wait until they come back, or you could go back to your breath until you notice thinking again. it can be a little slippery, a little tricky to stay here in the present moment with thinking without getting pulled in and identified. So sometimes it's helpful with this practice to just very, very softly, silently whisper in the mind when thinking is happening, thinking, thinking, thinking. For the purposes of this meditation, what you're thinking about is not important. But as we pay attention to thinking, we can notice other aspects of the process besides the content. So, for example, are you thinking in words or images? What's the quality of the inner voice that thinks? Or what's the quality of the pictures that you see? Yeah, so just noticing, yeah, what is the qualitative aspect? Not trying to figure it out, just noticing. Oh, thinking is like this. If you're able to stay with thinking, notice it as a phenomenon that happens in the present moment that's in flux. Is there any physical side to the thinking? Is there any pressure or tension connected to thinking in the body? Any tightness? Pressure in the brain or the forehead, around the eyes, the face, holding in the shoulders or the chest. Is there some part of the body that feels activated in support of thinking, as a part of thinking? So just being curious about that. And once again, not trying to fix anything, just being curious. Yeah, here's thinking. Thinking is like this, and this is how it shows up in the body. And if thinking goes away as you observe it, see if it's possible just to relax into the space that's left behind. Relax into the spaciousness of the quiet mind. that's free from thinking. And another thing that we can also be curious about as we attend to thinking as a primary focal point is, are there any emotions connected to what we're thinking about? If there is, then just quietly recognizing what the emotion is and including that in your awareness of thinking. And just to notice if it's possible, if there's any tension or pressure connected to thinking, letting go or softening, perhaps as you exhale, relaxing the thinking brain, like you'd relax a muscle. And if you did this exploration of thinking with mindfulness, I'd like to invite you now to let go of thinking enough to recenter yourself in breathing, just letting the thoughts fade back into the background and re-enter into the world fully present with the breath here for the last few minutes of this sit. And to see if it's possible, without too much striving or any tensing up, to stay connected to a whole series of breaths consecutively. This breath, this experience of rising and falling, breathing in, breathing out. So we're just near the end of this set, this meditation, and an invitation to reflect on how we are, what is the most predominant experience in this moment. Without judging or commentary, just recognition. Oh, it's like this. And in just a moment, the bell is going to ring, and there is an opportunity to be fully present for hearing. And then, yeah, when it's time to let eyes open, if you wish, you could also be fully present for seeing. So in this transition, we're going to be moving into some sharing and a Dharma talk, but let's take a moment just to be here in the space of moving from formal sitting into the rest of our evening of practice and try to stay attentive if there's stretching or moving that would like to happen. To take that as a mindfulness practice too. Yeah. And in just a minute or two, I'm going to share a few brief announcements. So, first, just a reminder about the practice of Dana, the practice of heart-centered generosity that's about the gifts and the joy that comes from giving in support of the things that we find beneficial. And one of those things might be the Buddhist teachings and our practice opportunities that come. So if that's something that you'd like to support, I've posted in the chat a link to our virtual Dana Bowl with a little description of that practice. So there's that. And then just to mention some upcoming events at PIMC, there's a retreat with Robert Beattie and Betsy Toll coming up on May 4th. It's a Saturday from 9 to 4:30. It's on courage and compassion. in a troubled time. So there's that. And then on April 27th, Saturday, from 10 to 4, we have Mary Stankavich with a day of practice, developing an intimacy with our experience. And then I'm just checking to see if there's anything that's coming up here real soon. I think that's it for now as far as that goes. I'll be making an announcement soon about when I'll be offering Heart of Freedom as a hybrid practice. I'm getting the kinks worked out here, and hopefully I'll be able to offer that to the community here pretty soon, in this spring, I think. So here's an opportunity for us to bring our mindful compassion into listening and speaking. And it's totally optional. Don't have to say a word if you don't want to. But if you'd like to, I'd love to hear what's most alive for you this evening. So it's just a brief check-in, maybe a few words. And if you'd like to say your name, that's great. And then when you're finished, just say, I've spoken. So then the next person who might want to take a turn can speak. And I'll get us started. My name is Doug. And I'm feeling peaceful after some challenging technical issues this day. So I'm finding peace in the midst of impermanence and brokenness. So I won't go into details, but needless to say, things break, and sometimes at inopportune times, and that's just the way things are. So I'm just here with equanimity with that. So I've spoken. Thank you.
I'm Michelle, and I was kind of curious about when we were doing the meditation about the space that was not thinking, and actually I ended up thinking about my houseboat when I go out in the near the water. You just don't really, you just feel the movement, and you're not really, they're not really obsessed with anything. It's just there. I remember how, I was wondering if that was like that space.
So if there's a question there, Michelle, I can circle back to that if you'd like. So, yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for your sharing.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm Esme. I use she, her pronouns. My spouse is really not doing well health-wise today, and it's really worrying. So I'm kind of sitting with like chills and nausea and a bit of like panicky body state kind of stuff tonight. I always have a quandary about like how much of that is helpful to sit with, and when is it time to just go out for a walk. But sometimes it's helpful to go into it, and sometimes it's too much. Thank you. I've spoken.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. My name is Scott. I'm in Vancouver, Washington. And I confess I'm on a bit of a quest here tonight. I teach at an online university called Buddha Dharma University, and it struck me that the courses teach a lot about the Buddha and the Dharma, but almost nothing about the Sangha. So I'm in the midst of putting together a course where people can hopefully experience the benefit of the Sangha, which in an online environment is very challenging. And so I bow to this group. This is the first group that I found that it appears, from just what little I've seen in the last few minutes, this is a very safe space to just let it all hang out. And that's kind of what I'm accustomed to. And I'm finding that's very rare. So this is now the second group that I've, other than my own, that I've come across where it feels like a safe space to absolutely just, cry, laugh, whatever needs be. So I am very grateful to have found you, and with you all's permission, I would like to add this to the list of sanghas to potentially visit for the students for whom I'm preparing this course. I have spoken.
Thanks. So just checking, is anybody sitting with something that you're just on the cusp of sharing? I'd like to share. Kathy?
Yes, I'm Kathy, and I'm just fatigued, very fatigued today, so I'm having just, I'm not in any particular state except lack of focus and tiredness, but that sometimes comes with meditation and just accepting it. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Gabby.
I was just wanting to make a note of some changes that happened all in a matter of minutes for me. I had attended the basics of mindfulness class prior to this, and then tried to squeeze in some dinner before this class or this meeting. And I get a knock on my door, and my neighbor comes by and says, "Hey, can we borrow your cat? We think that there's some mice scurrying about." And so I was sure. I think I've heard the mice scurrying about, and he's really good at doing that job. So I brought Bosco over, and then came back over, hoping to savor my last bits of eggplant that I had sitting there. And the plate was cleaned, and I thought, I don't remember eating it. Yeah, Bella had gotten to it. So then, and then I had also gotten a message from my partner, Steve, who was very grateful that I had reminded him to come to the class prior. So it was like all these emotions, boom, 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 that happened back to back to back, of like excitement and then my heart softening when I got that message from him. So I just wanted to share all of those changes that happened so quickly. Mm-hmm. And the noting of it was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I have spoken.
Thank thanks, Julie. So just checking again. Other sharing that would like to happen? Well, perhaps I can circle back to Michelle and Scott. So Michelle, you were talking about kind of the spaciousness that opened up in being aware of thinking or the absence thereof, and there was your experience of being on a houseboat or your houseboat, and I just wondered if you'd be willing to kind of briefly restate the question.
Sure. I was wondering what the experience for other people was like in terms of that not thinking part, that absence of thinking. And for me, it seemed to be sort of like being on a houseboat where there's a lot of movement and you just don't really concentrate too much on one thing. You're just part of the flow. It's flowing. I don't know if that's right or if that's other people's experience or if I'm getting there or not.
I can respond and just say, if it's like being aware of like the water flowing past and just observing it, if that's part of what you're asking about, that's very much like what I experience sometimes, where it's just a stream that's flowing through, and sometimes there isn't anything in the stream. It's just clear. And sometimes there's thoughts, there's little bits of debris that's floating through. So, does that connect with what you're asking? Yeah. And I mean, would anyone else like to respond?
Thank you.
Yeah, I would just add that as long as I'm, I think the way I'm understanding it is correctly, is if I go slow and mindfully, then yeah, I can kind of get in that. Or if I'm sitting there, you know, one time I was at a doctor's office up on Barnes, you know, and they had the big picture windows, and I was just sitting there in the waiting room, and I was just not doing anything conceptually, just looking out at the forest, and it felt really... I was just like, wow, this feels, then I woke up, this feels really good. But yeah, if I'm going slowly and mindfully and I'm aware, I can, you know, let those thoughts drop away, and that works. But if I'm trying to go, if I try to speed up, it just doesn't, I mean, I may not have too many thoughts, but it just doesn't work. But I have spoken.
Thanks, James. Well, just responding to your question, Scott, about students, your students would be more than welcome to come and be happy to extend an invitation to them. So, yeah, that's great. Yeah, and if it's helpful for them to have some opportunity to check in with me before they make a decision, they're welcome to contact me too. So,
thank you. I appreciate that.
So, the focus for this evening is on thinking, and I'd like to share just a brief Dharma reflection, Dharma talk on mindfulness of thinking. It's one of the most kind of liberating aspects of practice for me to step out of identification with thinking. And just to clarify, that doesn't mean stopping it. It doesn't mean getting rid of it, although at times it does stop by itself. And there is quiet and there is space. But that seems to happen more when I'm not trying to make that happen. There's this invitation to be in mindful presence with thinking, to observe thinking as thinking, and to notice how it's different to be mindful of thought as opposed to being lost in thinking. Some of you might have had that experience this evening during the meditation, to be able to kind of shift from being lost in daydreaming or identified with thought to notice thinking as thinking. When you get that as a direct experiential understanding, it's transformative, really. Changes our relationship. If there was a bumper sticker slogan for this practice, it could be, you don't have to believe everything you think. And it doesn't mean don't believe in a sense, or act on thought that's helpful or skillful. It just means that a lot of times habitual conditioned thinking patterns are not necessarily germane or helpful to what's actually happening. And they may not be responsive or receptive to the conditions we find ourselves in. Sometimes they work really well, habitual patterns of thinking. So it isn't to say that that's all bad or wrong. It's more to be present so we can see, is this helpful or is this not helpful? A lot of times patterns of thinking harden into belief systems and dogmas and turn into facts, or what we consider to be facts. And that can create conflict and disharmony and lead to all kinds of problems, both internally and externally, in relationship with others, in relationship with ourselves. So when we start to pay attention with mindfulness to thinking with a kind of gentle curiosity, we start to be able to do something that's called metacognition. And we move away from believing thoughts are facts, but more just pieces of information to consider. I'd like to share a little quote from one of my teachers, Matt Flickstein, who this is kind of more in the deeper end of the Dharma pool. So if this doesn't totally fit with your experience, take it or leave it, take it with a grain of salt. He said, to discover our inherent freedom, we don't need to give up the world. Our preferences, relationships, desires, feelings, compulsions, obsessions, memories, or emotions. There is only one thing that needs to be done, and that is to no longer identify with our thoughts. Our thoughts are the source of confusion and disharmony and suffering. the way that identification with thoughts comes to an end, is to see that thoughts do not belong to us, and to realize their utter emptiness. They have no inherent reality, none. They cannot lead us to freedom, have nothing to do with freedom, and only lead to living an imagined life. This can be directly realized through consistent and penetrating meditation practice. So, to be able to turn towards thinking with mindfulness, this is me speaking, this is not Matt Flickstein, is an important part of practice. And so, in order to really realize the benefits of this practice, it's extremely important and helpful to be able to notice what those patterns of thought are, and to be able to begin to have some freedom to choose what thoughts we want to cultivate and what ones we don't. And that was one of the great breakthrough messages from the Buddha, is that we can cultivate our conditioning. So we aren't the victims of our past experiences or conditioning, or even our cultural conditioning. We can, instead of being destined to repeat the patterns that we've experienced in the past, much of it based on conditioned thinking, the repository of conditioning, which is our brain, is actually changeable. There's something in neuroscience called neuroplasticity. We can, through direct mindful intention, cultivate our hearts and minds, and to be aware of what patterns of thinking are beneficial and what patterns of thinking aren't, what leads to our own welfare and benefit and what doesn't. And the Buddha said, as a fletcher shapes an arrow, so we can shape our minds. A fletcher is someone who makes arrows. So we can, through our own direct experience, see. Do thoughts of anger and greed and jealousy, for example, lead to our own welfare and benefit and the welfare and benefit of others? And the Buddha's answer to that is no. That leads to suffering, that leads to dukkha, leads to that which is difficult, leads to conflict. And to look and see if we are noticing them, then we don't have to reinforce them. We don't have to identify with those kinds of thoughts. There's freedom to choose there. And it isn't making those thoughts go away. It's observing them and recognizing, well, that's part of the kind of organic material that's seated in our consciousness, but we don't have to strengthen it or reinforce it. And to the contrary, what we can choose is kindness, compassion, joyfulness, equanimity, states of consciousness that are based on thinking that is connected with wisdom and understanding our interbeing, our interconnectedness with each other. But there's a lot of strong conditioning there. It's deeply conditioned, and that's where meditation practice comes in, to begin to be able to change our relationship with that. The mindfulness practice in general is really helpful to begin to create that distinction between our true nature and thinking, to be more with the capacity to be awake and present, and shift from being the thoughts to being the awareness of the thoughts, to shift from being the contents of consciousness to being in the space that they pass through. So it's like, you've heard me before, many of you, talking about being the sky, the space that the weather system passes through, those thought forms pass through. And some thoughts that naturally arise are beneficial. The impulse to give some food to a person without a home that's on the sidewalk in front of us, to act on that thought of generosity, or to notice the impulse to get angry with a partner or a spouse and be caught up in impatience, and to observe that without acting on it. Those are some examples. But this is challenging. The challenge of mindfulness of thoughts is that they're very slippery. They slide into the mind without the same impact as like body sensations. They slide in unaware, and then we tend to get carried away before we notice. So part of the function of mindfulness is to be able to notice them at their nascent level. And that's something that just kind of comes with a deeper practice. We can notice them emerge before they take root, before they turn into speech or action. And that's really where the action is. That's where transformation happens. And it's in this field of radical acceptance of whatever thought arises in the mind isn't really my thought. It's just the thought, the thinking. And then it's easier to have freedom to choose what to act on and what not to act on. So it's a non-identification. And please hear the difference here between full presence and non-identification as opposed to denial or repression. This isn't denial. This isn't repression. This isn't ignoring. It's full presence with it and acceptance of, oh, there's this thought. And if we feel disturbed by the thoughts that are running through, and we go into resistance, we go to war with our thinking, we inadvertently tend to reinforce the very thing that we're trying to change our relationship with. So that's where kind of the art of balance is. It's like how to be fully present without getting caught up in an attitude of, yeah, I do want to act in a way that's more in accordance with my deepest values and beliefs about non-harming, about being kind and loving and compassionate in the world. But we can easily confuse that with I shouldn't have negative thoughts, or I should never be angry, or get lost in judging. And so the practice isn't judging the negative thoughts or the negative feelings that go along with them, because that doesn't work. It tends to just reinforce the mind's mechanics. So on an ultimate level with thinking, we can see the empty nature of thoughts. Jack Kornfield, Insight Meditation teacher, said our thoughts come from our brains, and our brains are an organ that secretes thoughts the same way our salivary glands secrete saliva. That's just what they do. And they don't have any pride. They'll think anything. And it's not personal. It's just based on multiple causes and conditions. So the problem is that we cling to or resist or react against, which is like identification. And then they stick. So we're kind of creating a more like a Teflon or fluid relationship with thinking in this practice. As long as we continue to take our judging thoughts as real, they'll continue to torment us mercilessly. When we understand that this is true, we start using thought in our practice and recognize their empty nature. And to discern the difference between skillful and unskillful, helpful and unhelpful. So whenever there's something that arises where there's a negative emotional reaction that manifests in some speech or action that was unhelpful or unskillful, it's helpful to compassionately and mindfully go back and look. And so, what was I believing? What were the thoughts that I believed there that were separating me from or putting me at odds with myself or another person? And that's really the problem, in a sense. That's the cause of dukkha, the cause of suffering, is getting caught up in believing those thoughts. It's not to say that we shouldn't act on deep beliefs. Of course, if there's some suffering, anguish, pain in the world that needs forceful action, absolutely. When we can see clearly and act from a place of wisdom and compassion, then it can transform the world. So not believing thoughts doesn't mean that we don't act on our clear seeing about suffering and the cause of suffering. That's compassion. So this ties in then with intention, with skillful, or in the Eightfold Path, it would be traditionally called right intention or right thought. And I thought we could do a little cultivation with that this evening, just for a few minutes before we close. I'd like to do a practice on cultivation of compassion, and we can start with centering in back in our bodies and our breath. connecting with, or yeah, just recentering in that experience. And to recognize as we do this, as we get maybe recentered or connected, what are those deepest values that have to do with non-harming or trying to reduce dukkha or unsatisfactoriness or suffering? Yeah, and just noticing what comes to mind. What's alive for you this evening? What's something that you might like to hold for yourself or a loved one that you'd like to cultivate the kinds of intentions that might lead to feelings or wholesome actions? It could be wishing a loved one well, wishing yourself well. To see and feel the connection between skillful thinking we can cultivate and how it feels in our bodies. Yeah. So once you've connected with or identified with what you'd like to cultivate for yourself or another person or a group of people, let's try kind of formulating some thoughts that in the form of a phrase. And it could be, may I be free from fill in the blank, whatever kind of suffering or anguish. May I be free from fear? May I be free from identification with anger? May I abide in well-being? Or it could be, may you, or may they, or may she, or he be free. And just noticing what your wish is. And you might even imagine this other person sitting across from you, or yourself sitting across from you, wishing yourself well, using the power of thinking, intentionally cultivating. This sense of goodwill, compassion. And notice how it feels in the body, and coming back with the mindful focus on your intention, those words, those thoughts. Perhaps there's images or a felt sense. And this all feels like a little bit too much this evening, and you're, yeah, getting lost or overwhelmed. Please be gentle with yourself and just come back. Yeah, just come back and recenter in the breath. Maybe take a long, slow, deep breath. So there's no pushing, no forcing. It's just gentle. It's a planting of seeds, a cultivation. It's like, it's gardening our hearts with mindful, skillful intention. And if the mind wanders off, just coming back gently to this. And this practice of heart cultivation with skillful intention is ultimately limitless. So we take the very personal and intimate experience, and it's possible to then expand it if there's capacity and energy to see that What we tap into here is the shared human condition. I experience these challenges or difficulties, or my loved ones experience them. And so too, millions, if not billions of other people experience these same things. So as we cultivate, we can have some awareness that we do it not just for ourselves or our loved ones, but for all beings. Extending it out. And, yeah. So in just a moment, I'm going to invite us to kind of just circle back, and we'll pause and do a little check-in again. But notice how it feels. Yeah, what's this experience like in your body? And to whatever degree you're able to just offer appreciation for the effort and the energy that you're making this evening to really create a destiny for yourself that's based on your wise and loving intention. Yeah, and maybe just coming back and recentering fully in the breath, or if it seems helpful to take a long, slow, deep breath. So we can change our relationship with thinking and use it, our capacity to cultivate our hearts and minds in a way that's skillful. So yeah, that's the invitation. I just wanted to check back and see if there's any other sharing or questions before we close. So before we move into doing our closing practice, the Buddha suggested that intention is really made up of three things. Skillful intention, or right intention, it's the intention of renunciation, which is letting go of identification with resisting and clinging at the level of the senses. So there's a freedom from that. There's the intention of goodwill, and that's the kind of positive cultivation which we were just doing. And then there's the intention of harmlessness, really, to not engage in activities that are harmful to ourselves or others, and to that would be being free from actions or acting on ill will and greed. Yeah, hatred. So that's the basics of it. Yeah, anything else before we close? Okay. Yeah. So I'd like to, in closing, just invite us back to do a closing, metta practice. And so we can kind of pick up that thread and extend it beyond our intimate circle or ourselves. Yeah, just circling back and wishing our community here this evening that's gathered, our Sangha, wishing our fellow travelers on the path well. May you be happy. May you be free from all forms of suffering. Abide in well-being. Yeah, so just notice what comes up for you, what wishes seem most alive for you that you'd like to share with our community. And we can maybe even have the sense that as we do this practice together, we kind of create a circuit of loving, wise intention that we can then together send out into the world to beings who are near and dear to us and beings who are unknown to us, beings in our local community and beings in far-flung places around the world, beings who are being born, beings who are dying, beings who are torn by poverty, famine, war, beings who are experiencing wonderful, delightful celebrations, beings in all states, may all beings everywhere be free from all forms of suffering. To the north, to the south, to the east, to the west, beings of the air, land, waters, seen and unseen. And I'm inviting us, if you'd like to, totally optional, but if you'd like to join me in doing a chant. The chant is, may all beings be happy. And it's done three times. And then sadhu, which means so be it three times. You're welcome to unmute and we can join in the lovely cacophony of sound that happens on Zoom. Beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for joining me this evening in practice. And I hope that you take whatever is beneficial from our practice and continue with it. That's how things change in a positive direction. And anything that's confusing or not helpful, just let it go. So you only take the good things. And let's just be aware here as we close of the truth of impermanence. Sabbe sankhara anicca, said the Buddha. All conditioned things are impermanent. So too our gathering. One of the most important things to notice. So have a good week. I hope to see you here again next week. And take good care.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.